Good morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, chapter 5. We'll look at a passage there in just a moment. If you missed this morning's class, we had an excellent discussion as we continue to look at the book of Jeremiah. And again, we take a look at all the different issues, all the different problems that Jeremiah, by God's blessing, was trying to help Israel through. And we're facing many of those same things. And one of the things that came up in our discussion is the challenges in particular for our young people. Recently, a four-year-old taught me a song. A four-year-old. And the song goes like this. I thought it was pretty good. There is a decision to be made. There is a right, there is a wrong. Choose the right, choose the right. He's shaking his head, yeah. Now, when a four-year-old learns that song for the first time, there's a decision to be made, right? There's a right, there's a wrong. What do? Choose the right, choose the right. And he keeps remembering that, remembering that, remembering that. Pretty soon, what are they going to do? They're going to teach somebody else that, aren't they? There's a decision to be made. There's a right, there's a wrong. Choose the right, choose the right. And that's exactly what we want to do. Have you ever heard the word desensitize? Desensitize. Now that's a big word. What it means is you're going to reduce or eliminate the sensitivity of a person. There might be some of us here who, as we get younger, you know, there are different abilities to smell, to see, and to hear, and they change. We can become desensitive in that kind of sense. There's a country boy, and he asks a city person, have you ever seen a pig holding his nose? And the city person said, no, I haven't. And the boy said, well, he's been in the stench so long, he doesn't even know it stinks. And the city slicker said, yeah, I get it now. Now, that's interesting how that country boy explained it to the city person, isn't it? Why that pig doesn't hold its nose. It's gotten used to the stench and being there all the time. Now, isn't that what can happen to people too? When they're in the stench, and we're talking spiritually here, when they're around bad things that are happening all the time, they can become desensitive to it. Our Bible tells us that we need to be careful about that. That we can be exposed to shameful things. And when we're exposed to these things over and over and over again, what can happen? We can become desensitive to it. Is that a true statement? It is. One of my classes I used to teach in business is marketing. And they know the best way to get to the parent is who? Through the child. And if you watch commercials, you'll see time and time again, a lot of commercials are directed to who? The child. Like there's a film I showed, would show my class, a parent would be in there with their couple of kids. Daddy, daddy, I want this, I want this, I want this. No. Daddy, daddy, I want this, I want this. No. But after a while, what happens? They give up, right? And they do a lot of market experiments, they do a lot of analysis, and they know that one of the best ways to get to the parent is through the child. So they'll do a lot of their marketing directly at the kids, and we'll see that. So again, we gotta be very careful. The Bible tells us that we need to keep our senses. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Beginning of verse 12, we need to keep our senses. And it says here in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. So what he's telling us here is, Christians, there's a time when you need to spiritually mature. You need to grow up to the point where you can teach others. There's a time where you ought to be teachers. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason and use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And there's the key there, verse 14. Look carefully. Those who are of full age, we're talking spiritual maturity. You have grown spiritually. You're able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Those who by reason and use, there's that key word again, use. You have to use it. If you don't use it, what's going to happen? That's a trick question. If you use it, don't use it, what's going to happen? You're going to lose it. I guarantee that will happen. And then it says, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we have to use our ability to discern what is good and what is evil. And what we're being bombarded with right now so many different ways is, it's okay, everybody's doing it, right? It's okay, we don't want to hear you complain about it, everybody's doing it. Our God tells us that we have to discern what is good and what is evil. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. This discernment, exercising that ability to discern what is good and what is evil, is something that we need to do to make the right choice. What's that song again? There's a choice to be made. There's a wrong choice. There's a wrong choice. Choose the right. Choose the right. That's exactly what God wants us to do. Choose the right choice. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning of verse 9, Paul says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." I'm looking at the New King James here, but that your love may abound. Now how? You grow more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. So again, there's a choice you make. Your love abounds. You're using your knowledge and your discernment that you may approve those things that are excellent, making the right choices. And that's exactly what God wants you to do. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. So again, we need to make a choice, we need to discern, and we need to choose what is right over what is wrong. But too much, when you're exposed to too much filth, what can happen is your discernment can, over time, become more and more numb to what you're seeing. And again, looking at when I was teaching marketing, teaching business, again, they know how to do it. They know how to keep hitting you with these images over and over again. It's getting to the point I don't even watch TV, to tell you the truth. But particularly commercials. All right? They're going to use everything they can to get you to buy that product. And I've noticed, even when I'm looking at my articles on the web, one thing they will do is have a scantily dressed woman. Has nothing to do with the product. A car. You're looking at a car. They got this woman standing there. And the attention is to what? To the woman. And then you start to look at the car. Is that one way to gather your attention? It is, and the marketers know that. So again, we've got to be careful. We can become desensitized to the way things are being presented. We can be numbed to it. And that's something that Satan wants to do in every way possible. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Because we must be careful and be cognizant, be aware of the fact that if we're bombarded with this kind of stuff, we can be desensitized to it. And God warns us against that. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Look at that expression, in the futility of their mind. no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So the Gentiles have a futility in their mind. They are alienated from the life of God. Then he tells why. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, again, this is so important, and this came up in our discussion in class this morning. There are many people today who have not been exposed to God's word. They have not been exposed to who God is. And they can make no distinction between Spider-Man, Batman, I don't know, all these different characters, and a God. For many people, a God is no more than a figment of somebody's imagination, a story that's been made up and passed around. So again, if young people are not brought up, if they're not nurtured, if they don't have the admonition from their parents and others to know who God is, when they get older, are they going to acknowledge Him? Or are they going to turn to Him? No. It's going to be a big obstacle there. They need to be trained to know who God is and to know what God has done and to know that they have been created in His image. It continues, therefore, in verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And then verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Desensitized. Overwhelmed continually. Again, look at that verse. Being past feeling. Having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's the description of those who have been completely desensitized, cannot use their mind to discern that which is good and evil. Now look at verse 20, because Paul is speaking to the Ephesians as this. He makes that contrast. But you have not so learned Christ, in verse 20. If, and there's the condition, there's the big statement, if. And notice the if. If indeed you have heard Him, who are we speaking about there? Jesus. If you have heard Him, have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. There's where it's at. So Paul says, look, you've got all these problems, but you're no longer like the Gentiles in the futility of your mind. And then he says, the if you have heard Him, you have been taught by Him, and the truth is in Jesus. But there's more than just being taught about Jesus, isn't it? Can you be taught about Jesus and still be lost? Yes, you can. Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So there's a condition, isn't it? You have heard Him, you have been taught by Him, you know that the truth is in Jesus, and now you're going to put off these old things. Those things that have separated you from God. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So once again, that desensitization, how Satan works on you, where all this stuff going around doesn't matter, it does matter. And God wants you to see that you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you need to put on a new man, which was created in God. Now, is it possible to get to a point where you just don't care anymore? I don't care if it's right. I don't care if it's wrong. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Can it get to that point? Yes, it is. And the Bible warns us about this. There's a point beyond which a person will continue and continue and continue that they will not turn back to God. Is that a true statement? And God's word warns us about that time and time again. We need to examine who? Ourselves. To make sure that we are living our lives the way God wants us to live. Examine ourselves. How often? Daily. Examine yourselves daily. Every day, check yourself out. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, that warning. There might be somebody here this morning who's not yet obeyed the gospel. You've heard the gospel message being preached time and time again. And Satan loves it every time you hear it and you reject it. Why does Satan love it every time you hear it and you say no? That's one more time you said no. That's one more time. It gets easier and easier to say no, doesn't it? And Satan knows that. Satan wants you to get through hearing the gospel message being preached to you, and he wants you to say no one more time. He wants you to become desensitized to hearing the message. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Now notice that. Some will what? Depart from the faith. Again, if you missed our class recording, some of that discussion there about all these different religions, all these different denominations. And when people look at these different religions and different denominations, all these different flavors, they can see that there's disagreements among them. They're fighting among themselves. Does that make it easy for somebody to know the truth? No, it doesn't. It makes it much harder. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that if one body that calls himself Christian and this body calls themselves Christian, and they're arguing among themselves and they're all teaching something different, does it make it easy for somebody to learn the truth? No, it does not. It doesn't make it easy. It makes it that much harder. But what does God tell us? Seek and what? You will find. Knock and what? The door will be open unto you. Ask and it will be given unto you. So we have that promise. If you sincerely want to know the truth, God's going to provide the means for you to know the truth. And I've seen that time and time again. I think many of us have had personal experiences with that. Again, continuing in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Those are strong words, aren't they? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And that's what everything is if it goes against God's word. It is by the father of lies. Who's that? Satan. That's where it all comes from. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Seared. What's that word seared mean? You use something that's really hot, what do? You use it and you burn it and it seals it up. Makes it strong so it won't open up again. Seared. And it's talking about your conscience being seared. You can get to that point where you're no longer to what? Respond to the gospel, the good news of Christ. You're going to reject him time and time and time again. So your conscience becomes seared. There's a story of a newly hired construction worker. And he's out there and he hits his thumb with a hammer. You've ever hit your thumb with a hammer? It hurts. And he's doubling over in pain. And his boss walks over to him. He says, you know, if you do that every day, after a while, it's not going to hurt anymore. He's right, right? You keep hitting that thumb over and over again, what's going to happen to the nerves? You're going to destroy the nerves, and pretty soon it don't matter if you hit the thumb. Now, isn't that exactly what can happen to us spiritually? We keep doing the same thing over and over again. We know it's wrong. We know it's wrong, but we do it over and over again. pretty soon we become desensitive to it, don't we? Because we do it over and over again. I'm going to steal something from our Jeremiah class. Let's turn to Jeremiah 6. In the days of Jeremiah, he said this about the people. And I think this might describe part of the segments of our society in the world today. In Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 13, he's confronting them. Blessed, because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. So in their society here, many of them, all they want is more, covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Everyone deals falsely. Recently, in our government, there has been pardons given. And this is interesting what's taking place. Because when you look at these things that take place, to give a pardon to someone, there's hopefully a good reason for it. But if you're just pardoning everything that kind of looks, maybe looks questionable, what's going to happen in our society? If you can do a crime and then you can be pardoned from it or given clemency or excused from that crime, is that going to desensitize people to law and order? That's a horrible thing to think about, isn't it? A horrible thing to think about. As Christians, we must be aware of that. The Bible tells us if you sin, there are what for it? There are consequences for sin. In the Old Testament, you can look at, there's all these different laws, and many of them, if you did something wrong, you were taken outside the gate, and what happened to you? You were put to death. So there were consequences, and they were immediate. Did that have an effect on the people? Yes, it did. It did. If you saw somebody stoned to death because they did something to their neighbor they shouldn't have done, would that mighty influence you not to do that? Yes. So we can see what happens even in different countries and different parts of our government if you become desensitized to consequences of right and wrong. Is that taking place today? Yes. Now, Christians must be aware of that. They must be cognizant of it. It's important to do that. Let's turn now, if you would. Let me continue Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. Even everyone deals falsely. Verse 14. They have also healed the hurt of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. These are the leaders. They're saying, peace, peace, when there's what? There is no peace. Are they lying? Yes, they are. And again, I don't want to be political, but we can look at what's happening in the world today. Are there any wars going on in this world today? Yes, there are, two major ones. Do we hear a lot about it? Is there a lot of news about it? About the effects it's having in our country, what's going on here? No, we don't hear a lot. Now think about that. Do wars in other countries affect our society, our country? Yes, they do. Now look at that again. Verse 14. They also heard the hurt of my people saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Okay. False sense of what? False sense of security. Verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. There's the desensitization. The priests and the prophets dealing falsely, the leaders saying peace, peace, when there was no peace. Were they ashamed of what they were doing? No shame. Look at continuing. No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, I will cast them down. Again, desensitive to the things that are going around us. It was brought up in class today about the concept of euthanasia. What does that mean? Going to death, putting somebody to death. And that's happening right now around the country and around the world. Older people, it was brought out in class, are being denied what? Healthcare? Why? Not cost effective, right? Too much of a burden on our society. So all these different kinds of things, you become desensitive to the things that are going around you. And you hear peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now again, we need to think about this. Have many in our society today lost the ability to blush at anything? Are things that used to bother you no longer bother you? Is that possible? Watching things on TV or listening to things, can we become desensitive if we hear it over and over? I don't watch things, but I notice in some of my articles I read the use of language. Words that would not have been used when I was a kid growing up are being used now more and more and more. Right in front of our kids. No, just like nothing. Becoming what? Desensitive to the things that are taking place. How about going to places you wouldn't have gone to before? How about remaining silent when you know that God perhaps wants you to say something? Can we be guilty of that? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And we'll conclude on this passage. Because here is something we've got to be very, very careful about. Revelation 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. He's writing to the church here. And this is what he's saying to them. Look at verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Let's think about our congregation here. We as a people. Does God know our works? Does God know everything that we do? He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So think about this. He wishes that you were one or the other. Cold or what? Or hot. Verse 16, so then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Let's go back to that word, desensitive. Can we as Christians, if we're not careful, become desensitive to all the things that are going around us? We can. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Because this is what the Lord wants us to be. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And we'll conclude on that passage. That's how we are to live our life, being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Be obedient to the Lord. He expects that. He wants that because he loves you. And if you're a brother or sister in Christ, you need help or prayer to this congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.